He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning Thanksgiving week. It's a whole week. Why not? The Thanksgiving week edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we are off to a mixed start in the market here today. The Dow is up 277 points. That's 0.8%. Now, I got to tell you that the Dow has resistance at 34,000. That's the resistance level. Okay, that doesn't mean it's going to halt there, but that is the resistance level. It's hit its head on that ceiling several times and hasn't been able to get through it. We'll see. We're at 33,974. We're just 26 points away from that resistance level. The NASDAQ, well, now we've got a positive NASDAQ. It was negative by about 40. It's now up 7 points, is the NASDAQ. We've got the S&P 500 now up about to 0.4%. So we've got a pretty good start to the market here today. We've got oil. You know, yesterday there was that rumor going around the Wall Street Journal, I believe, that OPEC was going to do a production cut. Well, guess what? No truth to that rumor. And oil is back up today, and we've got Bitcoin solidly under 16,000 right now as the crypto crisis continues. In crypto land, the cryptocurrency is not doing real well. There's a real shaking of faith and confidence in the cryptocurrencies and a run on the bank right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Market in a little bit of a bullish mood here today after a sell-off yesterday. Oh, not a big one. The Dow was down, what, 45 points, something like that, yesterday. But we're back on the right foot here today. We are looking at some resistance here for the Dow at 33,965. It has not been able to get through the 34,000 area for quite some time. We'll see if it can do it.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of we got, you know, basically every economic report for the week will come out tomorrow.
Really? So
they give
it's
us
a data dump.
Yeah, they give us a huge plate. You won't want seconds after the the amount of info that's coming out tomorrow. So of course, none scheduled for Thursday or Friday. So
we don't get any leftovers on Friday. Some leftover CPI drenched in chicken broth. No, okay,
And you can even read the Fed minutes. If the turkey doesn't put you to sleep, just read the Fed minutes on Thursday because they come out on Wednesdays. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, I like the earnings reports that we've got. We'll get to them in a bit. There have been quite a few earnings reports. I'm surprised that there were that many still out there, but I guess let's get everything out there in the open. And pretty good day of earnings reports here so far today. You know, I said in my newsletter last Saturday that I bought 12 new stocks last Friday. I had a lot of pent-up well, you know, I had been building a watch list for quite some time, and it just kept growing, and I wanted to get some uncertainty out of the way, and we did, mainly that election, which is still being contested in one state, it sounds like. Arizona is still a hotbed there, but for the most part, we've got gridlock, and the market likes gridlock. You know, these rumors that go around and these stories that go around, they move the market in a big way. China has been one. I mean, one day it's off, and then the next day it's on again. And I'm talking about their COVID restrictions. And, you know, that impacts the entire market. And we really, I don't know that we do know. I'm sure that insiders and people that have are close to the ground, Apple, companies like Apple, et cetera, have boots on the ground over there and know exactly what's going on. But just when they, you know, were relaxing all of their restrictions, now they're putting the hammer down again. And it's impacted everything from stocks like Tesla to stocks like Alibaba, JD.com, some of their big tech stocks. It's impact
oil prices.
Oil prices, big right. time. It's had a big impact on oil prices. It's had a big impact on the emerging markets, ETFs, etc. So it seems to be on again, those lockdowns taking place in Beijing. I just wonder if it's more of the Chinese government keeping the folks under control when they go in and lock up a high-rise. And you can't come out. I bet there's been a lot of hoarding in China these days, and people are more sufficient at home, I would think. How long can you live in your condo in a high-rise building before you run out of important things?
Well, you may be scared to go out. You end up getting quarantined some other place for, 10 days before you can go back to your home.
Yeah, you don't dare peek outside the door and go outside and get a breath of fresh air or anything like that. It's quite a strange situation. And then the other rumors that have been impacting the market here, yesterday oil was down almost $5 per barrel. I mean, we went back to the January lows. We were down around that $75, $76 area. And that was on a story that I think it was out of the Wall Street Journal that OPEC was going to increase their production. And Saudi Arabia denied the report, adding that the current cut of 2 million barrels per day by OPEC Plus continues until the end of 2023. And then, we'll see where we go after that. And the United Arab Emirates also said that it has not discussed changing the previous agreement. So I don't know where the Wall Street Journal is getting their information, but that rattled the energy stocks yesterday. We had a sell stop hit because of that news. And now we're back up. I mean, we're back up $5 from the bottom that we hit on yesterday. So, fake news, the media, it's
Lily
not real
was an example, right? You had the Willie example last week, right?
Well, that came from Twitter. Yeah, insulin is going to be free going forward. And all the companies that had any exposure to insulin absolutely got clobbered. That's kind of what's going on in the markets right now. There's a lot of rumors that come out that aren't true. Even by, the Wall Street Journal is considered to be the gold standard of the markets. But, they've been wrong many times. Forbes has been wrong many times here recently. It is having a major impact from day to day. And I would say China, more than anyone, can really move the markets one way or another, especially certain stocks. Okay, COP27 is over. That's the climate summit. The world's poorer countries won an agreement Sunday in Egypt calling for the U.S., and other wealthy countries to create a fund for climate-related damage. We're on the hook. I mean, the U.S., according to this group, has caused damage to these poorer countries, and there will be a transfer of wealth from the U.S. and some of the richer companies to some of the poorer countries. Nevertheless, many observers still came away disappointed as the new framework released at the end of the summit did not include efforts to completely phase out or phase down all fossil fuels. A lot of attention given to methane and some big methane pledges coming there. That's where it ended. We will pony up for the damage that our economy and the U.S. has done.
On?
to the poorer countries where they still burn their trash, right?
Do you just take that off the normal aid that you've already, you know, that you're providing some of these?
Yeah.
You know, if you already got, you know, something earmarked and then you just go ahead and subtract off.
Yeah. It sounds like a transfer of wealth in disguise to me, but, okay, well, we'll get back to this crypto story after the break. Another one bites the dust. There has been a run on GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust. That thing hit a new 52-week low yesterday. This was once trading at $58 per share. We're talking last year, and now it's $8 per share. That's the kind of damage that has been done to the Bitcoin marketplace. That and more when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. We got a pretty good day going on in the market so far. Thanksgiving week has historically been a pretty good week. Everybody seems to be in a good mood on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, knowing that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pretty much a four-day weekend, although the markets will be open on Friday. Even Bitcoin's up now.
Yeah, as long as it was last year where Powell spoke the day after Thanksgiving, right? And, of course, that was the big interest rate announcement.
That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, what was he doing? We needed to get him a dinner or somewhere to go so we don't have any announcements on Friday.
Yeah, we had interest rates down around 1%. Now they're up closer to 4%, and we'll get to the spread. The two-year right now is at 4.53%, and that's a record spread. Okay, crypto broker Genesis is said to alert of a possible bankruptcy as it scrambles for funding. You know, that when they start suspending customer withdrawals, you should be nervous if you're a customer.
There's any infringement upon redemptions, right?
Yes.
That's when you've got an issue.
But Bitcoin is up a little bit. It is back up above 16,000. There's another one out there, Genesis, that has suspended customer withdrawals. Okay, Bob Iger at Disney, he's ready to go to work. He's going to do a complete overhaul. You know, he has not really been gone that long.
Just got the other office decorated.
I guess the other guy really screwed things up while he was gone. I want to say it was up around the $200 area when Iger left. Now it's 96. The stock has lost 50% of its value. So gone is Chapek, back is Iger, and I'm seeing a lot of upgrades to Disney on this potential turnaround story. Disney is down today, however. It's down 1.4% after having a big boost higher yesterday. Okay, now, consequences, right? There are consequences to things that governments do. Shell is now going to evaluate a $25 billion UK investment plan after they got hit with a windfall tax by the UK government. Well, you know, the UK is in serious trouble, especially with their energy. And their new leader there for a while, not a short-lived leader, came in. They were so desperate they were going to start fracking again. And Shell has a $25 billion plan over the next several years to boost production in the UK. But now they're going to evaluate that plan. following the government's decision to increase a windfall tax on oil and gas producers. They said when you tax more, you're going to have less disposable income in your pocket, less to invest. This is what CEO or Chairman David Bunch said in reaction to Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt's announcement last week to raise the UK's windfall tax on North Sea producers to 35% from 25% to help plug a big hole in the government's budget. Never mind the big hole in their fuel supply. So anyways, there are consequences, okay? I don't think this is going to end well, really. Around the globe, I don't think it's going to end well. This rush to get off the fossil fuels going too fast, I think there's going to be a lot of gaps and a lot of shortages, a lot of cold homes. And who knows? I mean, it seems to be the direction we're going here in the U.S., of shutting down fracking, shutting down new supply, letting current supply dry up. We'll see where it all ends up. Well, I don't see good ahead.
Nah, I think Europe's a good. I mean, I think we just need to look across, the Atlantic and understand, kind of what the consequences can be if you, if you move too quickly, towards whatever that is.
Yeah, or if you, punish the fossil fuel companies. And then, you've got this rail strike looming. I just saw a little film here on the news of rail cars carrying oil, to the refineries. Well, a big rail strike in December would also put pressure. Okay, if you think your money's not safe at Coinbase or FX or Genesis or whatever else, DraftKings stock dips over 10% on a report of a hack that drain customer accounts. So I guess not only are you gambling, Barry, on Tom Brady or whoever else, you're also gambling that your account is safe sitting there at DraftKings.
Yeah, in this instance, it sounds like essentially, their real dollars, right, were being essentially taken or withdrawn from. From player accounts. So that's an issue because DraftKings will be eating all of that. But
yeah, according
just shows
to the
you that
outlet,
nothing's safe.
Money's getting slippery. Assets are getting right. Slippery. A number of customers were hit with sizable withdrawals and were locked out of their accounts as hackers changed login details. The company acknowledged an account issue in a tweet on late Sunday evening via its customer support Twitter account. We are aware of reports of customers having issues with their accounts, and we are investigating. Well, I don't know. It depends on the size. Well, they're saying less than $300,000, but we'll see.
But it still happened. Yeah. But it still happened. Right?
You open up your account and it's been cleaned out and it says, in the history, a withdrawal. That's not a good thing. And now DraftKings, hackers are everywhere. They're just if some hacker in the world doesn't have your information by now, with all the different sites that have been hacked, and of course they sell your information on the black market, etc. Billionaire investor Carl Icahn said to hold the large GameStop short position. Well, the Reddit guys, that's not good to announce that, right?
Probably not. I don't think I'd want anyone to know.
Are the Reddit people going to come after him and put Carl Icahn out of business? Icahn began building his short when GameStop neared its high of 483. Holy cow.
Good for
He's
him,
sitting
man.
On a big profit if that's the truth.
Yeah, Carl probably told everybody about his short because
so he
of
can
where
get
he
out.
Got it at. Well, or where he got it at.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
GameStop shares have plunged 71% from their high last year and have dropped another 32% this year. I tried to short a stock yesterday. You couldn't even find stock short. I was denied. I'll tell you what stock it is when we come back. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 23, small caps up 0.5%, Dow up 0.8%. So pretty good day so far here in the markets on this shortened Thanksgiving week. The market is open Friday, but Thursday, obviously, the market will be closed. Okay, one stock that looked really vulnerable to me, and, you know, I was going through my charts yesterday, as I always do, and I looked at Coinbase. I said, oh, that's a disaster. That looks horrible. I tried to short like a few hundred shares or something like that. I couldn't do it. There's nobody out there.
There's no stock to be had.
It is up 7% today, so I'm kind of glad there wasn't. But Jim Chanos, who is a well-known short seller down in the Florida area, he disclosed a big short on Coinbase. Okay, he made the following comments about Coinbase, C-O-I-N, which is also a big holding, at least it was last time I looked, a big holding of Kathy Wood's ARK funds. In an interview, famous short seller made the following comments. Coinbase is based here in the United States. So that's a little better than FTX, which was based in the Bahamas. He says that's a big help, but the problem Coinbase has is that its model doesn't work. There doesn't have to be fraud for you to lose money as a Coinbase shareholder. And what he's basically pointing out here is you don't have that depositor insurance. He says, I think the Coinbase depositor probably is in okay shape, but again, there's no deposit insurance here, although it's in the United States. If Coinbase does something that they shouldn't, depositors and people who are holding coins on the exchange would be at risk. Again, and he emphasizes this, I don't think they're doing anything they shouldn't, and there's no evidence that they're doing anything they shouldn't, but the investors should realize that, you know, you don't have that protection, SIPC and different kinds of insurance that you have with, you know, a stock portfolio at Ameritrade or Schwab or Fidelity, etc. You don't have that at Coinbase with those coins. Morgan Stanley upgrades restaurant brands after new chairman announcement. I've been talking a little bit about this. You know, you've got the turnaround, bringing back the old CEO to Disney, Bob Iger. But another, I would just say, I wouldn't call it a troubled franchise, but, you know, Burger King hasn't been a major player for a long time. It seems to be more McDonald's these days and Chick-fil-A and Chipotle, et cetera. But they've brought in Patrick Doyle as their executive chairman in the past week. He's the one that turned around Domino's Pizza. And there's no guarantee that he'll be able to turn around QSR, which is more than just Burger King. It's also Tim Hortons and Popeyes. But Doyle's reputation among shareholders is perhaps unrivaled in recent restaurant history. In our view, okay, this is Morgan Stanley. Doyle presided over more than a 20-fold increase in DPZ's Domino's Pizza's share price during his tenure. That was 8 years. It went up 20-fold, making DPZ not only the best-performing restaurant stock during that period, but one of the best performers in the S&P 500. Well, we'll see. Okay, they upgraded the stock with this announcement of Doyle as the chairman. And we have a position in QSR, which I don't know that I've ever held that stock, but I did own Domino's back in the day. Jack in the Box. Now, we haven't heard any inflation stories for a while. You know, we had earnings out of Target. That's
true.
Earnings out of different retailers. But Jack in the Box quantified it today. They slid. Their shares are sliding after inflation headwinds. Okay, and how do they quantify it? Restaurant-level margin fell to 16.2% of sales, driven by increases in food and packaging costs. And here's what they say. Commodity cost in the quarter increased by approximately 14.9%, primarily due to increases in proteins, I guess meat and cheese and chicken, sauces, and oil. Those are the three things. Well, I mean, that's basically everything except for the buns. I'm sure there was an increase there, too.
I mean, eggs is the one
yes.
thing I've seen at the, you know, talking about the fuel of the food industry.
It's in a lot
really
of things.
Eggs. Yeah, more than you think. And it's kind of like the gasoline. And, man, I mean, egg prices are still, you know, through the roof.
Yes, so 14.9% increase. Now, they have raised their prices. I don't see those dollar menus anymore. They're $1.39 menus now, and I don't see the dollar-ish billboards
it's
anymore.
Like the dollar-ish menu.
Yes. Zoom Video. Okay, another one that we've knocked many times here since their heyday when it hit $588 in 2020. And certain money managers out there still own this stock, from 588 all the way down to 73. You know, there was a great short opportunity in Zoom Video. It is down. They reported earnings that were not so good, and they're down 8.5%. And I would reiterate our stance that it's not time to go back into the 2020 stocks. Let's just call them the 2020 long-duration COVID stocks, stay at home, work from home, all that kind of stuff. Not a good place to be here in 2022. And I don't see it. Maybe when interest rates start dropping again, maybe when the Fed has peaked at hiking rates, I think they're going to top out. I think, Barry, you and I are somewhere in the 4.5 area, maybe 5. And then they might start going down from there. But I think they're going to remain elevated for quite some time.
One of them, I forget which committee member it was, but yesterday you had, I heard, or at least over the weekend, basically making that exact point that, they're not done.
No,
going to be elevated for longer, and so in our book, it's not a pivot to lower rates. Whatever the pivot is, it's taking their foot off the gas and coasting right at that level for a period of time.
Yes, okay. Earnings, Agilent. That's been on my watch list. I almost bought it. I didn't. Agilent had excellent earnings report. Agilent stock is breaking out. It's up 6.1% today. The medical sector has been probably the second best sector in 2022, and I would expect it to be a pretty good performing sector next year. You got a lot of low PE stocks there. You got a lot of dividend payers amongst the big drug stocks, and they've been breaking out to new highs recently, a lot of them. And Agilent, which makes more medical instruments, a very good report today. Dell, which is a good representative of that personal computing market, nice report from Dell. It's up 3.7% today. Also a good report from Best Buy, which is right in the middle of the PC consumer market. Best Buy stock is up 9.8%, a very good report. American Eagle, which is the American consumer, breaking out. It's up 17.2% Abercrombie & Fitch, another witness to today's strength of the consumer, another piece of evidence. It's up 15.2% today. Urban Outfitters, URBN, it's up 0.5% today. But those are some, you know, they were all good today, all good reports. Well, there was one more. Okay, Dollar Tree, let me check in. It was down last time I looked. Ouch, Dollar Tree is down 10.4%. That's one we own, Dollar Tree. Man, they beat earnings and everything. I don't quite understand what's going on there, but that was the only bad report today. So it was like last week. You know, you had a good report from Walmart and a horrible report from Target, and today you get all these good smaller company reports and a not-so-good report from a Dollar Tree. All right, well, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. What's shaking and baking, moving and popping today on this Thanksgiving week? We'll be right back. Final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Definitely the stocks leading the way today. Dow up 303, 0.9%. Wow, it's being led for sure by the consumer discretionary sector. Okay, these aren't things like toothpaste, shampoo, which are consumer staples, things you gotta have. These are discretionary things that come from places like Nordstrom's and American Eagle and Abercrombie and Fitch and Best Buy and Dick's Sporting Goods and Burlington Coat. They're all up big today. You know, that's a good omen there, good sign that the consumer's still happy and spending, Barry, going into getting close to going into a new year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing we've kept, you know, really kept our eye on in terms of, you know, of course, you know, on the flip side of that, I think, you know, I think credit, right, things bought on a credit card has also been increasing. So, you know, you just want to, the consumer's really what's driven the U.S. economy, I mean, the world economy, you know, really since, certainly since COVID. Think about, you know, all the, you know, whether folks were buying GameStop stock or whether they were, you know, shopping at GameStop or somewhere else during the pandemic. And, you know, we haven't seen that slow down. That's probably because employment is so high. And, you know, it kind of one of the, to me, is one of the indicators that the, you know, the Fed, you know, probably believes they still have further to go.
Well, I was just going to say that. I got to believe right. That the Fed is watching today's reports from the consumer discretionary sector and saying, we got to do more because a buoyant consumer is inflationary by nature. There's still a lot of demand and there's still a lot of money floating around out there, discretionary money. And so on the one hand, it's good. On the other hand, from the Fed's point of view, being a Fed watcher, they got to be saying, we've got more work to do, fellas. All right, let's see. Now, also, for whatever reason, I don't know why, the steel stocks, yesterday they were the star of the day. They're breaking out again today. It might have something to do with tariffs. I'm not quite sure. It usually kind of ebbs and flows with China, demand out of China, but the steel stocks have been extraordinarily strong here with X today up 5.3%, U.S. Steel, Zeus, Z-E-U-S up 5.3%, Cleveland Cliffs up 4.8%. You know, they're so cyclical, though. They're really hard to invest in. You know, I've just found that over the years. I've caught them at the right time a few times when China was going through their big expansion phase back in 05, 06, and gobbling up all the commodities around the world. Man, U.S. Steel was one of the best stocks I ever owned.
Yeah, and then they started dumping steel, which, you know, reversed the number, you know, in the complete other direction, right? It was, it's one of those things where when you've got those commodity-based names, you're certainly onboarding, right, an additional degree of volatility based on, you know, the underlying component and just, you know, cyclical nature of those businesses.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the steel prices, iron ore pellets, et cetera. But all the usual suspects, Cleveland-Cliffs, U.S. Steel, Zeus, et cetera, are all up today. I did see a steel stock out of Luxembourg, which is a pretty good stock. They were floating a bond issue today, 6.8%. 6.8%. Now, that just spooks me a little bit. It was ArcelorMittal, MT. MT is the stock. And I started to forward that to you, Barry, to look into it, and I said, you know what, that one scares me just a little bit. But it is indicative of the, you know, a year ago that would have been 4.8%, right?
Yeah.
4.2%.
Three and a half. You know, some you used to send those off too, but we were kind of joking and as a get a laugh out of it when you'd see some of those super. Was it Hertz? Was
yes,
another one that was
are way
funny.
Above the norm. Yeah. Okay, another area that's doing well today, the Bitcoin's having a bounce today. Silvergate's up, Coinbase is up 6.1%. Maybe there's a little bit of stability there. I think they're finding that maybe the losses weren't as bad as they originally thought from FTX, but who knows? I mean, I think there's still a lot up in the air over there. And then the oil stocks, the three times oil stock ETF, NRGU, is up 6.4%. And, of course, there was that rumor yesterday. I looked over to the TV and I said, wow, oil's down $5 per barrel. What is going on? And it was all on that Wall Street Journal article, which proved not to be true. And now oil stocks are back up today. Weatherford, an oil and gas equipment stock. Maybe two of the stocks we bought last Friday, definitely one of the ETFs was oil-related. Weatherford up 5.4% today. BP up 4.6% today. So the oil stocks having a good day today. All right. Well, there's a lot going on in the market right now between the crypto crash. You've got the end of earnings season. I updated all of that in my newsletter on Friday. I feel pretty comfortable with the numbers I've put out there for 2023 S&P 500. Multiply that by a multiple, you get a target price, and the numbers I've put out there for 2024. Multiply that by a multiple that is appropriate for this interest rate environment. And I guess the other thing I would say, it's worrisome to see this big gap. Okay, that's the one thing I suppose that worries me the most, is the inversion of the yield curve, which hit a new all-time high yesterday. We're over 70 basis points between the two-year and the 10-year. That is very, very unusual. And, you know, if all things being equal, that means that the bond market thinks there's a very high chance of a recession in 2023. But, you know, given these earnings reports we saw today, the consumer is not receding, it does not seem like. Anyways, you can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. You can get positioned for next year. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.